As we enter into Chodesh Tammuz, somebody pointed out to me that amongst the different Ramazim, the allusions in the name Tammuz, you could find from the Tuf Mem Vav Zayin of Tammuz, Zmani Tshuva Memashmashin Uboim. I don't know if we're feeling already El and Tishrei, but I do think that what we're feeling coming close to us are the fast days of Shavuot B'Tammuz, which 2 weeks down the line, even less, and of course following suit after the 3 weeks with Tisha B'Av. So we're definitely entering into a period of time of tefillah, of tshuva, and of tainus, of fasting. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tainios, which is number 8 on your page 1, finds the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of tainus in the word za'aka, mitzvah sasem in a Torah lizok. And he quotes a pasuk, v'harei osem b'chatzotzros, in Parshas Baaloscha. So the word za'aka, which really means crying out to Hashem, is the cornerstone, if you will, of tainus, of fasting. And the Rambam later on, we'll see it inside, speaks about what happens if we don't fulfill the mitzvah of za'aka, if things befall the individual, the people, the community, and we don't respond with za'aka. What does that mean, and what are the repercussions? That we'll get to a little later. But in the context and in the framework of za'aka, I'd like to focus, call your attention to a pasuk in Tehillim, which is at the beginning of the page. And David HaMelech speaks about a node. A node is a certain kind of a flask. The Mitzudas Tzion says it's a shame kli, mashke, it's something that collects liquids. He quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. And David HaMelech asks Hashem to count the dma'ot, the cries that are placed by Hashem in this node. Rashi explains, Sima dimasi benodacha, God, so to speak, watches, he guards, it's very cherished, God cherishes the dma'ot, these drops of tears that are collected in this node, which is shmura lefanecha, it's actually preserved up there in the heavens, in front of the Ribono shel Olam. And the Malbim in his Pirush on that pasuk expands it a little. He says, David HaMelech experiences nidudim, navinad, he goes from place to place, he's a fugitive, and he asks Hashem, Siman dim'asi benodacha, collect my tears, and place them in this node. V'gam heim halo yu b'sifrasecha. What is the sphera here that David refers to? Says the Malbim, Ratzalom b'cheshbon ha-mispar shalcha, L'mashal im gazarta alai asora nidodim. If the decree against me, David HaMelech says, in the heavenly courts was 10 times go into golus and go from place to place, then perhaps we can substitute, Hashem will accept, instead of one of those nidudim, the tsar, the suffering, the bechia, the dmos, the crying and the tears, that should be considered and weigh in your eyes like one of the nidudim, or maybe even more. Titzarev cheshbon mispar hadmos, when you calculate things, and judge me, David HaMelech pleads, include in that cheshbon, in that calculation, the volume of tears that I have shed in my prayers. El cheshbon mispar hanidudim, ubaze yimait zman hanidud, lufi mishkal hatzar vadmos, shigam heimin acheshbon. So somehow this is going to reduce the din, the judgment against David in the context of nidudim, because of the dmos, the tsar and dmos that David pours out his heart in front of Hashem, and these tears are collected in a node lefanecha in front of Hashem. And from the presentation of the Malbim in his interpretation of the pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech, we see clearly that the tears of prayers are tears that come from within a person, deep down inside. They're tears of tsar. They express the pain and the suffering that a person experiences, that anguish that expresses itself in crying out to Hashem in tears. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is the place of tears within the context of tefillah and tshuva and tainis and fasting. And I'd also like to address the issue of whether or not one is always allowed to cry in his tefillos. Are there limitations to that rule? We're going to, Mirtz Hashem, today go through a Gemara in Brachos, a Gemara in Erevin, a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, all these, a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, all these talk about crying, about tears. And those tears, when a person suffers, are heartfelt and sincere tears. I'd like to also perhaps address the concept of suffering, the tsar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us, Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, and what should be our response to that tsar. And in this context, I want to go through a long piece in the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, which you'll find, it's number 9 on the bottom of page 1, going on to page 2 of your pages. I'd like to also, Bli Neder, speak to you about a drasha that some sofer, a very meaningful and I think almost a revolutionary concept of what tears are all about in the context of the Chassam Sofer. So let's, without further ado, put our shoulder to the task. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, which is the second source on your page, how important crying during davening is, the tears that we shed during tefillah. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Sharei Tefillah. The gates that allow us to go all the way through the Shari Tefillah with our petitions are no longer open for us. And of course, Rabbi Lozar quotes a pasuk in Eicha that deals with the situation of Za'aka, of Tefillah, following the Churban Abayis. It's no longer the same. Gamki Ezak Vashavea Sosam Tefilasi. That's why we have the Minigon Leil Yom Kippur to take off the paroches and indicate that the Aron, which represents the Shar of Atfilos, is completely closed. But yet, says Rabbi Lozar, there is another Shar, thank God, that's open for us, even post-Churban. The Afal Pisha Shari Tfila Ninalu, Shari Dma'a Lo Ninalu. But nevertheless, the gates of our crying are not closed. The Dma'os of Atfilos, of our petitions, will reach on high. Shenemar, Rabbi Lozar invokes a pasuk in Tehillim Lamites, Shama Tfilasi Hashem v'shavasi azina el dim'asi al techrash. Don't be callous or deaf to the power of our dma'ot, of our tears. So we see already in the Gemara in Brachos, right up front, how powerful the dma'ot of tefillah are, such that even after Churban, Shari Dma'a lo ninalu, the gates of crying of tears are not closed. God listens and hearkens to the prayers that are accompanied by tears, because those are deep felt prayers. And how much more tsar could we have than the tsar of Churban Abayis? And what are we meant to do? How are we meant to respond to tsar? To things that befall us? Terrible things. I'd like to call your attention to the Rambam that I mentioned at the outset. The Rambam, in his opening presentation in Hilchos Tainios, which you'll see on the bottom of your page 1, the Rambam, in his first halacha in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Tainios, sets the framework, the background, the source for the mitzvah of Tainis, and that is Za'aka. Al kol tzara shetavu al tzibur. There's a special obligation incumbent upon the tzibur when a tzara, rachmana litzlan, befalls the tzibur. And the Rambam in Halach Aleph gives a number of examples, another number of categories of tzara, batzores, dever, arbe, v'chayotzevehen, za'aku aleim v'hariu. We cry out to Hashem, we blow the chatzotzros. This is the mitzvah that sets up the source and the background for tainus. And the Rambam goes on to tell us in Halacha Beis that the experience of za'aka, the obligation to cry out, is part of the mitzvah of tshuva. And what was meant to do is, as a result of this tzara, is to check, to investigate our sins. To realize that the happenings that befall us as a nation are not happenstance, they're not coincidental. But rather Hashem is giving us these signs so that we'll interpret them properly, we'll understand that our response must be one of za'aka, of tshuva. Says the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, a very dramatic Rambam. Aval im lo yizaku, if chas v'sholem we don't respond to a tzara, Eli Yomru, the people declare, Dover Zemi Minaga Olam Irolanu. This is natural, this is coincidental, it's all built into nature. You know, from time to time, there'll be a Batsoret, there'll be Dever, there'll be Arbe, there's no rain coming down. And Nebuchadnezzar happens, but you know, that's all. It happens. Let's go on in life. Let's deal with the issue. He says that these people declare Tsarazu Nikra Nikres. Mikra means a happening, a coincidence. Hareze Derech Achzorius. This is a callous way of responding. You're not facing the message. You're not reading the signals, the signs. As a result, they'll continue in their evil ways. And what's going to happen at the end? Not only will we suffer this tzara, but there'll be tzaras al tzaros. And here the Rambam invokes a pasuk in the Tochacha at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra Chavav. If you'll assume that things that happen to the people of Israel are keri, keri miloshem mikre, v'alachti imochem bekeri, b'chamas keri, klomer shavi aleichem tzara, kidesh tashuvu, I bring you a tzara upon you in order to bring you to repent, to rectify your sins and your flaws. V'imtomushu keri, and you'll respond by saying it's all keri, it didn't happen through Almighty God, it's not hashkacha pratit, it's not divine providence, intervention, but it's just keri. Is osif lochem chamas also keri? The tzara nebuch will become that much more severe and that much more difficult. And I'd like to point out to you the pasuk in Chumash, which I think you have here at the end of page 2, towards the end of page 2, it's the 10th source on your page, from the Tochacha, and to take a look at the Archaim HaKadosh on that pasuk. He says, V'halachtem imi bekeri, v'halachti afani mochem bekeri. Says the Archaim Pirush, Shalo yavi aleichem yisurim mechuvanim al chatosam kemo shasim ikodim. What is the Archaim talking about? He says something very strange. He says not that there'll be a second makah or tzara, you know, a second strike against the Jewish people, and that's what the Torah is saying. But there's something about the nature of that second wave of tzara that is the fulfillment of this Tochacha. And I think in order to understand what the Archaim means, and we'll come back and read him again, we should first take a look at the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Of course, Rabbeinu Yonah from Gerona, from Spain, was called Rabbeinu Yonah Chassid. He lived in the 13th century, died in the year 1263. He was related to and close friend of the Ramban, and he wrote many, many different sforim, but perhaps the most famous of them all, it's been reprinted literally dozens and dozens of times, is his great work called Shari Tshuva. And in the second shar, he speaks about our response to suffering. What should be our response in situations of tzara? He says, Kasher timtza'ena es ish tzaros, when a man finds himself suffering, Yoshiv Elibo Viomar, he should pay attention. He should respond and ask himself, Einze ki im drachav umalolav asher osa eli v'chata'av olululu nafshi. He has to say to himself, look, why is this happening? Because of my sins. V'yashuv el Hashem v'irachameyu. And he should do tshuva to bring compassion from the divine being. And he quotes a pasuk in Dvarim, "Umitzauni rose rabos v'tzaros v'yomer bayomahu halo al kain ein elokai v'kirbi mitzauni arosa elo," because I didn't allow God into my heart, into my midst. That's why these tzaros are befalling me. V'tire v'minag basar v'dam. We see something similar that happens within the human context. Ki yechta ish le'ish. If Reuven does something terrible to Shimon, and Shimon has charata. Reuven has charata. What he did to Shimon? Why? Because he's suffering a tzara. He realizes that he needs Shimon to be mochel him, to forgive him. He says, "Tiena tiyah charata zos grua b'yenei chavero." You know, his friend Shimon, who was hurt by Reuven, thinks that, you know, your charata is a knapper charata. It's not really profound. It's not sincere. You're only doing it because Nebuchadnezzar, you're suffering so badly and you're afraid that if I don't give you mechila, who knows what's going to happen to you. And he quotes the pasuk in Yiftach. By Yiftach in Shoftim, it says, "Madua basam elai ato kasher tzar lochem." You know, when it's bad for you, that's when you come over to me, if you remember. You know, they didn't really give, you know, Yiftach the cover that he deserved, and instead they came to him when it was really glad with the plishtim. So this is not really the highest level. The highest level of tshuva is when a man does tshuva on his own initiative. He doesn't have to wait till God strikes him down and then he's down and out and his life is hanging in the balance, and on his deathbed in the hospital he does tshuva. No. But yet, Michazdei Hashem Yisparach, God, even though he doesn't like this tshuva, it's not the best, it's not the mitzvah in a muvchar, but God is compassionate, who mekabel ha-tshuva azos mitzara. Even this tshuva comes mitoch tzara, God is willing to accept. But in the next paragraph, v'imlo yoshiva ish, but what happens even on the lowest level, even after he suffers the punishment, he doesn't do tshuva. He doesn't get the message. And he's not doing tshuva. Says the Rabbi Yonah Shai tshuva, that not responding to its sorrow with tshuva is even an avera unto itself. Yigdal avono v'yichpal oncho. It's a double whammy. Now he's going to get another punishment. He says, "Valo tira im amelch miyasir smisha sherchotelo v'lo yusar yakshe." It becomes even more difficult. The imlo yeda velo yizbonen ki atlos mitzauhu mipnei chatov. Rabbi Yonah in the next paragraph warns us that if a person doesn't realize, he doesn't have the acknowledgement, the recognition, that all these things that are happening to him is because of his sins, but rather he says something like the goyim Nebuchadnezzar plishtim say, that they deny that what happened to them is anything but a mikra, ki lo yodu niga banu naga banu mikra. What touched us, what befell us, is only a mikra. It's a happenstance. Bizosia ketzef olav milifnei Hashem. That engenders the divine wrath. V'yigdal avon hakat hazot. Such a group of people who deny that this was a divine punishment for a crime, they will suffer the divine wrath by intensifying that sin. And as a result of that, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you'll see in the next paragraph, he's going to say that a person, v'teda v'taskil ki musar Hashem yisprach l'tovas ha'adam. The main point is that we understand and we realize that whatever happens to us, the surim, the suffering, chas v'shalom, that befall us, we must understand it's l'tovas ha'adam. Why is it for our benefit? Ki im chotei shlefanav v'yasa rabbeinav musar Hashem olav l'shtei to'alios. There are two purposes that are achieved through this yisurim. Number one, achas l'chaper al chatov u'lahavir es avono. Number one, it's an atonement. So like you say, when something befalls me, I should say kaparat avanot. Right? But that's not the... I don't even think that's the most important element of Yisurim. Hashnia, the main element of Yisurim, is that God brings us about laskiro ulahashivo midrach of haroyim, to bring a person back in tshuva, to leave behind those drachim royim, those those paths that are criminal. And he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, Al tiryosi tikhi musar. The low-key Bil HaMusa, but if he didn't start checking himself out and realize what he has to reconcile and rectify and improve, then v'lo nichas v'vnei tochecha, he's not accepting Hashem's tochecha, v'lo mol ar laslibo oilo v'oil inafsho. He's even in a worse situation. On the other hand, if he gets the message and he does tshuva and he rectifies his evil ways, then his yisurin bring him into a state of simcha. Why? They brought him to a very high level and they functioned, they accomplished their goal. And he should thank Hashem for giving him that musa. And now I think we can come back and reread the Archaim HaKadosh. Says the Archaim, again, I believe it's on the bottom of your page. Just one second. Says the Archaim, Pir Shalo Yavo Aleim Yisur Mechuvonim El Chatosom. The Archaim says, so number 10, that there are two types of Yisurim. The classical Yisurim, which is called Tochachas Musar by Hashem, is Mechuvanim, meaning there's a hint in the Yisurim, the nature of the Yisurim gives you a message, but again you have to read the message, but it's inherent in the Yisurim, it's hidden there, of what exactly is your chait. And you're meant to respond to these Yisurim by checking, by investigating your life, your actions, and find the Derech Ra'ah. So the Surim, Mida Keneged Mida, have some sort of direct connection to the Chait, and they point you in a certain direction. Hashem is pointing to you, saying, there's where your Chait is, that's where you need improvement. However, if Alachtem Imi Keri, says the Archaim HaKadosh, if we continue in the same way that we were before, meaning we're not willing to use those Yisurim as a method for that second Toelis that Rabbi Yona spelled out, in order to what? Lazkiro Lashivo Midrach V'Royim, to teach us how we should do tshuva, then the second set of Yisurim is going to be radically different than the first set. What's going to happen in the second set? Lo Yaviu Aleim Yisurim Mechuvanim. They won't be Yisurim Mechuvanim like they were before this situation, like they were Mikodem. But rather, it's going to be some sort of a general Yisurim. The first set of Yisurim, Amuchuvanim, Zeya Orer Lev Nirdam, this will awaken the sinner, Viaskilo Lehetiv Masov, and he becomes very sharp and intelligent, understanding where exactly he pinpoints the sin and the source of sin, and where he can improve his ways and how to improve his ways. Shekinegdom ba'a elav ha-ra. He sees a correspondence, a relationship between the ra'a that befell him and the sin. But in yelchu imi bekeri v'lo yaskilu l'mais Hashem asher ya'orer libam b'kivun yisurim kineged avoson noseihem. If the yisurim mechuvanim, which are perfectly aligned and parallel the sin, they reflect the nature of the sin, and they're a finger pointed to teach you where you fell and where you have to improve. But if you don't get that, if the Yisurim didn't achieve that goal because you refused, you were callous, you said it was happenstance, and you weren't the maskil, then what happens? Gamhu yelech imochem keri. What does it mean? Hashem will respond with keri. Yavi aleihem Yisurim. She'ein lehem dimyon lema'aseihem. Please underline those words. Ein lehem dimyon lema'aseihem. They're in no way corresponding or reminiscent of his actions. Ma'aseihem aroyim. And therefore it's tzoros, which have no purpose in a sense, other than just punishment in and of themselves. So let's just summarize what we've said, and then we want to create a structure here. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, we must respond by doing tshuva to the Yisurim, because these are tochachos musar that Hashem is sending us. The Rambam says that if we do not respond with za'aka and crying out, with tshuva to improve our ways, then Hashem's response to the tocha is v'alachtem imochem bekeri. What does it mean? Valachti machem bekeri bechamaskeri, says the Archaim HaKadosh. Whereas the first Yisurim corresponded, they were mechuvanim. They reflected the chait, and therefore they served that goal, that main goal of being a clear education to the person where I have to do tshuva, what do I have to improve. The second set of Yisurim, that's already Yisurim, not mechuvanim, she'ein lahem dimyon lema'aseihem. They're just Yisurim, just to punish a person. Concept of keri, according to the Archaim HaKadosh, means a type of Yisurim which are keri, meaning there's no relationship, there's no understanding within the Yisurim of what sin I did. That's called keri. Keri means that you took the first round of chet, of onesh, of Yisurim, namely Yisurim Mechuvanim, and you basically threw it out the window. That's called keri, because you failed to see the cause and effect relationship that was inherent in the relationship between your chet and the punishment thereof. If you threw that out, Hashem's going to give you punishment, which are just simply keri. And in the light of this, and this distinction between the two categories of Yisurim, and the purpose of Yisurim, I'd like to take a look with you at a very interesting Gemara in Masechta Erevin, which is the third source on your page, on the first page. We're not going to go through the entire Gemara, I don't think we have time for that. But the Gemara speaks about how wonderful the punishment of Hashem is, that the person who receives that punishment understands how to respond. He thanks Hashem, so to speak, for the punishment. And this Gemara might just be the source for Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, that when a person receives the Musar Hashem, in the last part of Rabbeinu Yonah, if he's Meitiv Drachav Uma'alalov, if he improves his ways, he should be Someach B'Yisurin. What does it mean he should be Someach B'Yisurin? He should thank Hashem because these Yisurim did him a tremendous service. Now take a look at this Gemara in Erevin, when the Gemara speaks about a person who suffered a punishment at the hands of Almighty God. And the Gemara says the following. He says, there's a pasuk, Emek HaBacha. Emek HaBacha, the word Bacha, which is in Tilim Pei Dalet, refers to Bechia, to crying. And these people who are struck with Yisurim, their response is Bacha. Says the Gemara, and I underline it, Shebochim umoridim dmos kima'ayan shel shitim. Now Rashi and the Marsha are going to try to address this phrase in the Gemara. Let's first translate the Gemara and then see what the Mefarshim do with this particular phrase called Mayan shel shitim. We're talking about a person who suffers divine punishment, and his response is Bechia. He's Morid Mos. Okay? And what are these Dmos? The Gemara says that these Dmos are like a Mayan Shalshitim. What's a Mayan Shalshitim? So Rashi points out, Nekev Shebebinyan HaMizbech, when they built the Mizbech in the Beis HaMikdash, on the sides of the Mizbeach, there were nikavim. What did they do with those nikavim? Shenisuch hayayin shel sfarim yored lesocha kol hashana. We know that the karbonos, like if you brought, for example, you brought a carbon ola, that had to be accompanied by what's called a nisuch hayayin, and they poured the wine from sfarim. Sfarim were those special klisharis, the special kalim that were used to collect the wine, and then they would do nisuch of that wine with the sfarim through these shitin. These shitin are the holes that were constructed in the mizbech on the sides. And Rashi refers you to Gemara in Sukkah. The Marsha in his Chidushi Agados on this very same Gemara expands it a little bit, and he says that our tefillah and our crying is meant to represent and replace a karbon. A karbon is a person's attempt to get closer to Hashem, Yiloshem Karbon, Liskarev, and to achieve Kapora. And when he cries during Tefillah, again, Tefillah as an Avodas Karbon, then those Dmos, Olos Lo Lefonav Yisparach Baruch Hu, those Tefillah, those Dmos, those very tears go up, so to speak, to Shamayim, B'makom HaNesachim, and they replace the Nesachim, HaBoim Ima Karbon. And where do we see, says the Marsha, a concept that's very similar to this one in the Gemara in Erevin, that the Emek HaBacha of a person who's responding to suffering and to punishment is Bechia, shedding dmos that are Olos Lefonav Yisbarach, that replace, if you will, the Niske Hayayin that go into the Shitim and accompany the Karban. Says Rabbeinu Yonu Ukidam Rinon, Shari Dmos Lo Ninalim. Amazing. The Marsha connects this Gemara about Dmos with the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara basically, if you take Brachos and Erevin together, if you link up the two Gemaras, they fit together like two halves of a whole. There's a picture here. The bias was Nechav. We can no longer bring a carbon. And if we can't bring a carbon, we don't even have tefillah in the strict sense, because the shari tefillah ninalu, just like we can't bring a carbon, the mizbeach is out of, you know, is locked up, it's out of service, so too the tefillah is out of service, because tefillah is a replacement for the carbon. But what we do have is the shari dmos. And these are the dmos that one cries when he realizes Nebuchadnezzar is suffering. Klal Yisrael is suffering. The Tzara brings the person and the Tzibur into the Emek HaBach of crying. Those Dmos are so precious, even more precious than the Karban itself, but they're equal to the Nesachim that accompany the Karban. Now, I find this very interesting because there were two liquids that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash were poured on the Mizbeach. Classically, there was the Yayin. The Yayin represents, in the case of the Nesachim, what we call Midas HaDin. But there was something else that was poured on the Mizbeach, albeit more rarely. But nevertheless, that's called Niske Mayim. And if you take a look at Rabbi Mechaye, and Rabbi Mechaye repeats this throughout his Pirush al Torah, he says, reflecting again the Gemara in Erevin, that we have today something to replace a carbon. That's called Tainis. Our fasting replaces a carbon. We know that fasting, we lose some of our chilev, some of our basar, and that's like the chilev and basar that was brought on the carbon. And we also have Dmos, not just fasting, but that's Zaaka and Dmos. He says, if the Tainis represents a replacement for the Karmon, the Dmos, he says, reflect a replacement for the Nesachim. But which Nesachim? Let's look at Rabbeinu Mechai very carefully. Not like the Nesachim that the Marsha pointed to, but Keneged Nisucha Mayim Ima Karbonos. That was an entirely different Avodah. That was typical of Chag HaSukkos when they did the Nisuch HaMayim. And he refers explicitly to our Gemara and Brachos that we began with, Shari Dmo Lo Ninalu. We have today the Tainis, we don't have the Karbon. We have today something that accompanies the Karbon and replaces it to the Dmos. But the Dmos, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is Mikoch HaMayim. And he spells it out. What is Mayim? Shehu Mikoch HaChesed. Mayim always represents the midah of chesed. Yayin, on the other hand, represents the midah of din. And we have two different types of nesachim that are brought on the mizbeach. You'll take a look at in the Rabbeinu Mechaye in the next paragraph in Bamidbar Perek Yutes. There too, he goes al derech haKabbalah, and he says the pasuk in Yecheskel v'zarakti alecha mayim tahorim. In the time of Golus, when we no longer have the mizbeach, that's called the sharei dima. Shadma ba mikach mayim. So we now have an equation between dima and niske mayim, whereas according to the Marsha, the equation was And I think he's reflecting Rashi, because Rashi's talking about the Shitin, and the Shitin were for Niskei Hayayin. That's already Midas Hadin. So we have here Mayim Mikoch Midas HaChesed. We have Yayim Mikoch Midas Hadin. And I'm very confused, frankly, because I don't understand what is the nature of Admos. Is it the Admos of someone who's crying, as we saw before, who's bitzar, who's looking at his life and the life of the people of Israel with the suffering of Golus, and he says, Nebuch, I have to cry out to Hashem. That's mitoch adin. And that's the crying that's sad. Or perhaps is the crying a cry, a tear of joy? As Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Kasher yikabel adam es musar Hashem v'yetiv drachul malolo roy hu sheyismach biyisurav." He appreciates the yisurim in terms of what they accomplish for him to bring him to the state of tshuva and rectify his deeds. Now he's zochet to the tshuva of chesed, and therefore the dmos are dmos of chesed, like the niskei hamayim on the greatest apex of simcha in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, when the mayim was simcha, was chesed, was joy. And I'm a little bit confused because I see echoes going in different directions. Is it the dmos of yayin, niskei yayin, or is it the dmos of mayim, of the niskei mayim, which is chesed? I just want to point out to you that the concept of dmos finds itself in other gemaras in Shas. The gemara in Shabbos, which you'll see in the sixth source on page 1, Omer Rav Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Bar Kapor, Kara Morid Mos Al Adam Kosher. When a person is in such tzar because somebody died, those dmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofrom, God takes those dmos of genuine tzar, He counts them, Umeinichon Bebeis Gnozov. And guess what Pasuk Bar Kapor invokes here? What does he quote? You guessed it, the very first Pasuk that we started with, Tehillim Nun Vav. In other words, it's clear from this Gemara on Shabbos, and that reflects very much Rashi and the Marsha and Erevin, that is demos after suffering, demos of anguish, of tsar. And maybe those demos belong to the camp of Niskei Hayayin. Let's take a look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches. Again, the concept of tzom on the one hand, of fasting, which we say is a carbon, it's like you're giving up part of your own body, your own flesh and blood, connected with the concept of sason and simcha. The Gemara says, Omer Abchano Bar Bizna, and perhaps of all the Gemaras that we've seen today, I might point out to you, I think, that this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is perhaps the most important of them all. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, My Dichsiv Zechariah Novi, in the famous Perek Ches of Zechariah, which addresses the various days of Tzom that were instituted by Chazal for Churban, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Tzom HaRavi, V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShvi, V'Tzom HaSiri, Yiel Abeis Yisrael, Asasan Ulasimcha. So the Gemara right away asks, you're talking about the future. Zechariah Novi is foretelling the future when the Mikdash will be restored, there'll be the Gula Shlema, there'll be Sason and Simcha, and yet he calls them days of Tzom. If he would have said they're no longer days of Tzom, it would make sense. Kari Leit Tzom, the Kari Leit Sason and Simcha. The Gemara says there's a stira here, there's a contradiction. How can you possibly call these days, Zechariah, days of Tzom, and then at the same time call them days of Sason and Simcha? You could say in the past they were days of Tzom. Now the days of Sasa V'Simcha, we've gone through the Geula, we've experienced the ultimate redemption, the Mikdash is back, but to call it at the same time both Tzom and Sasa V'Simcha, it makes no sense. And the Gemara's answer stands on its own 2 feet, and Mitzvah will come back to that, but I first want to show you a beautiful drasha of the Chasam Sofer and how he approaches this. Just mention a few words of the Chasam Sofer. His name was Rav Moshe Schreiber. He lived about 150 years ago. He was born actually earlier than that, in 1762. Already in 1806, he was appointed as the Rav of Presburg, which is one of the largest cities in Hungary. and he was recognized as the Godel Hador. He clearly was the Godel Hador. He has Chidushim on Gemara, he has Drushos, he has Tshuvas. His Tshuvas are world famous. And let's see what he says in one of his Drushos regarding this concept of crying. He begins by quoting the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Kari Leit Tzom, Kari Lusas V'Simcha. How could it be both at the same time? It's a day of Tzom and a day of Sasa V'Simcha. And he refers to the Radbaz and the Tshuva that somehow the Tzom itself, according to Zechariah, is Simcha. Eich Efsha Shia Sasa V'Simcha. How can the Tzom itself be Sasa V'Simcha? So the Chasam Sofer wants to tell us a story, and based on this story, he says Pshat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. I think it'll shed a light on everything we've been discussing today with the Gemara in Erevin, with Rabbeinu Bachai's Pshat in Demos. Now, the story itself, I'm not so thrilled about. I mean, it's a little embarrassing to even talk about this story, but I'll just read the words of the Chasam Sofer, that's all. Chassid Echad, Chassid usually means a humble person, once told us, he says, Shesimchaso Gedola, his greatest simcha in this world was that Pam Achas, one time, Adam Nivze, some low person, Bizoyin Gadol, embarrassed him, the Chassid, in an unbelievable humiliation, Vehishtin Olaf, et Gepisht after. Vehulo hirgish klal mirov chasidus v'saval bi'ava. He didn't respond at all. I mean, imagine somebody did that to you. You would, I don't know what you would do to him. You'd probably murder him, hang him up from a tree. But instead, this chasid, because he was so intense in his chasidus, he suffered this suffering, this bizoyim bi'ava. And not only that, kishezocher zeh, when he remembers the story, the incident, who sus v'sameach. It puts him in a good mood. It uplifts him. Shaziko Hashem l'kach, that God gave him the zchus, the opportunity to reach that level of chassidus, to be sovil bi'ava. Says the Chasam Sofer, this story becomes like a mashal. What's the nimshal? He says, Hachinami so too. Kishizakenu Yizakenu Hashem.
Is it true, the story?
I don't know. Yizakenu Hashem v'yismechenu. Lo nismach, when ultimately we're in a state of simcha, what is that simcha? What's the nature of that simcha? Lo nismach beribui hatov. It's not all the good things that we have, you know, the dresses that we have and the lavish parties that we go to, the food we have. Ela nisaper v'nizkar asher savalnu, but rather the simcha will be, very paradoxically, that we'll remind ourselves and relive, re-experience, reminisce about all the suffering, Zal Paim Shana, for 2,000 years, and everything that befell the Jewish people, and yet we're still standing, we're still alive, and we're still dedicated to his avoda. Anachnu kayomim b'avodaso v'yiroso. Zoti esimchatenu. That is our simcha. The simcha is to relive the past with all its pain and feel and be proud that Hashem sent us these messages. We took them to heart and we were able to persevere to live on because we were dedicated to his avoda. That's a great simcha. V'hainu, and that's what the Gemara means in Rosh Hashanah. Hatzom atzmo yehafech l'sasa n'simcha. The very tzom itself, the very fasting. Tzom means the suffering. And the tzara that we experienced, that we went through, will be the source of sasa n'simcha. Why? K'shenazkir yemei anyenu. Inu, miloshin inui. When we remind ourselves of those days of tzom, the inui that we suffered. Nismach b'savlu notenu. We'll be happy with the fact that we patiently accepted those Yisurim. Odecha, Apostle in Yeshayo, Anovi, Odecha ki anfas bi, anafta bi, Odecha ki anisoni, Apostle in Tilim. Vihine matzinu rina, we find, this is a Pella, what a chiddush of the Chasam Sofer, that the word rina, and I know plenty of people who have that name, Nemar al Atzar. The word Rina sometimes means Tzar. He quotes a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Vayavar harina b'machne. And the word Rina here in this pasuk means Tzar. This is an unbelievable thing. God promises us that in the future, Yamale Schok Pinu. What does it mean, Yamale Schok Pinu? He says, Loshen Ismach Atzmenu, Vigufenu Baholulus, Visichlus, Vibote Cafe, Viteatros. That's not what we're talking about, Yamale Schok Pinu. What does it mean, Yamale Schok Pinu? Ki Imfilu, Finu, Yamale Schok. Rina, that's the end of the pasuk. What is Rina? Here's the key. The word Rina at the end of the pasuk tells us what it means at the beginning of the pasuk when it says Yamale Schok Pinu. What does it mean? Schok. Shenesaper Tomid Al Harina Vatsar Shaovra Alenu Vizachinu Wizbo. Look at those words of the Tzam Sofer. It mamish makes my hair stand on end. That when the pasuk says Lushonenu Rina, what it's referring to is that we will remember always, it's engraved in our memories forever, in the collective memory of the Jewish people, the suffering, the tsar, the Rina that we experienced. And yet, it was a schus for us. It was a schus for us. That very Rina was a schus. Of course, at the time we were suffering and it was terrible. But now we realize what is inherent, what is the true essence, and the mahut of that very tzom, of that very rina and tsar. It's all for us. It's all for our good. It's very reminiscent of what we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah, that we realized that the tsar that Hashem brought us was a musar of Hashem. We took the message. V'royli adam sheyismach b'yisurah. And now he should be samech in those very, very yisurim, that we're not only mechaper him, but also brought him to do tshuva. And if we exist today, despite all the suffering, what greater simcha could there be? L'shonenu rina. The umos ha'olam, says the Chassam Sofer, lo yavinu. And in the very same capital, the umos ha'olam, the spectators on the goyim, they don't know what's going on. They can't understand it. Zeh tachlis? They don't understand what this tachlis is all about. The omrim, Higdil Hashem lasa simela. You guys should be happy about the fact that God now is doing good things for you. But instead, Adam Nenem v'tovasav, you're not praising God because of the benevolence and the experiences of good. Higdil Hashem lasa simonu. You should be happy because of the Higdil Hashem lasa simonu. But not because of Lishonenu Rina of the Tsar. But they don't understand. The goyim can't begin to understand our experience of Sipur HaTzar, of telling of the Tzar that we experienced, the Maschil B'gnusa, the Leil HaSeder, and the Tzar itself has within it what? Simcha. Oh, says the Chassam Sofer, now I have an answer to a famous question. Just to summarize the presentation, the revolution of the Chassam Sofer is that tzom is simcha and simcha is tzom. That liyosid lavo, what we're going to be able to do as a people, as a nation, is to see within the tzar the simcha that it brought us, to thank Hashem for the fact that He gave us the opportunity through that tzar to ascend the spiritual ladder, to reach higher and higher levels. That the tzar itself, the suffering that we were sovel and yet we persisted, we experienced, is because Hashem gave us that ability. He gave us the messages, and we read the messages properly. The reason that we still exist today is because we got the message. We improved their actions, and we're still standing on 2 feet. And therefore, when we say the lasid lavo yamale schok pinu shonei rina, it's the rina, the simcha from the tzar itself. What's inherent in the tzar is that rina. And now, although the Umos HaOlam can't understand this, we can understand this, says the Chassam Sofer. This will give us an insight to answer a question. And before we present the question of the Chassam Sofer and his answer, let's take a minute to look at the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see in the last 2 paragraphs on your pages, on page 2. The Ramban addresses the following question. Bechir. A person cries during his davening. Are you allowed to cry during your davening on Shabbos? We're not allowed to be bitzair on Shabbos. There is such a thing as a ta'anit chalom. If a person had never had a bad dream, He's allowed to fast on Shabbos if he's so upset, he's so in a state of despair and anguish. Says the Ramah in Reish Pei Ches, Misha Yeshlo Oneg in Yivke, a person who cries his heart out to Hashem on Shabbos, and he has Oneg, that's his pleasure. Kedesha Yelech Hatzar Milibo, that's his getting the tzar from his heart out. You know, psychologists even today say that that if you keep your emotions bottled up inside you, if you don't let them flow and express themselves on the outside, if you don't have tears to cry when you're in anguish, it's a terrible, terrible thing. So in that sense, crying for such a person is really an oneg. Says the Rama, Mutar Livkos B'Shabbos. Then you're allowed to cry in Shabbos. In the Ramah's mind, crying on Shabbos for someone who's in this state of anguish when he davens and he needs to cry is like someone who has to fast the Tainis Chalom because he had such a bad dream. So the Taz, who's the super commentary on Shulchan Aruch, a very sharp mind, he takes the Ramah to task. And he says, what's the source for the Ramah? Where in Chazal do we find the basis for a heter permitting us to cry on Shabbos? The Isa Bagodot Zora Chodosh Shematzu Talmidov Shal Rabbi Akiva. The Talmid of Rabbi Akiva found Rabbi Akiva crying Shayabocha B'Shabbos. And when they asked him about it, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, how can you cry on Shabbos? Omar, his response was Oneg Yeshli. So the Ramah understood that as a basis for permitting someone to cry, because for that person to cry on Shabbos, it's an Oneg. Adarav, it's not. It doesn't undermine the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Fakert, it's a kiyum. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg. So the Taz, before he slugs up the Ramah, he's honest enough to show that there is a clear cut evidence, a source for the Ramah. He says, "No, Venir Ali, the Ramah misunderstood the story about Rabbi Akiva. Da Hainu, what were Rabbi Akiva's cries?" Shemirov dveikuso b'Kodesh Baruch Hu. He got so close to Hashem. The experience was so elevating. It was exhilarating. It was pure, pure joy. Is zolgim einov demo. He cried out of joy, not out of tsar. Not the way the Rabbi says kedei sheyelech hatsar b'libo. And he quotes the Zohar Chadash, that Rabbi Akiva would cry the Omro Shir Hashirim when he recited Shir Hashirim, k'she yoda heichan advar magiv. He appreciated through his recitation of Shir Hashirim how close and how intimate is the relationship between Almighty God and Knesset Yisrael. Through that sense of experiences dveikus, then he started crying. He says, v'cheinu mitzuya b'mispalim b'kavona. And the Taz claims that this was actually something that was quite common for those who daven with kavona, that they would actually start crying, but crying out of a sense of dveikus, out of his pashtus agashmis, when they became one, clinging to Almighty God, they broke down in tears, but the tears were tears of simcha. Aval, but he says, aval kedei sheyetze atzar mimenu shezoch ramah hu tamua. What, you're going to allow anyone to just cry because he's in tzar? That's the tzar, that's the bechir, that's the demos of tzar. The demos of tzar, says the Taz, are antithetical to Shabbos. Which demos are permissible and can be reconciled with the Shabbos? The tzar, the demos, not of tzar, but the demos of simcha, the demos of dveikus, and that's where the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, the Taz. I think it's the last source on your page, on page 2. Hainu dafke machmas rov dveikusav HaKadosh Baruch Hu zolgev ein of demos. Shekei matzinu Rabbi Kiveg mizor chosher bocha ni'od bi'omro shir ashirim. Imagine if we could only experience this, have a vision of Rabbi Akiva reading shir ashirim on Leil Shabbos and crying out of dveikus. Because through his Shir Hashirim, he experienced that highest level of kavana, of feeling close to Hashem. But stam livkos kedei sheyetze hatzar milibo, lo. But there are those who permit, even after the Taz, crying in daven. But in essence, there really are two categories of tears, of demos. There's the demos of tzar, which I believe in the context of the Gemara in Erevin, the way Rashi and the Marsha understand it, are the accompaniment to a karbon which replace the Niskei Hayayin. The Niskei Hayayin are because of the din and the tsar and the karba, the sense that I am on the Mizbeach. I deserve that my life should be taken from me. That's why I'm crying. Crying out of tsar, that's one category. That's a dima shel tsar. And no doubt that's the dima of the Gemara Bar Kapporim Masechet Shabbos, Hamorid Mos Haladam Kosher. And those dmos are very precious to Ribbono Shel Olam. They're collected in the node that's, that David Melch speaks about until Perek Nun Vav. And they will play a major role in offsetting the Midas Hadin. But then there's a whole other category of dmos. Those are the dmos that Rabbi Bechai calls the dmos that replace the Nischei Hamayim, which was brought on the apex, as we said, of the Simcha of Sukkos. These are the demos that come mikor chesed, because the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he accepts us and we come close to him, and as the Chasam Sofer says, because we realize that Hashem was mezakeh us in this tzar so that we would improve ourselves. It's a cathartic tzar. It's realizing that we ascended the ladder, we're still standing because we're dedicated to Hashem. It is the demos of and the Tzam Sofer finally explains in the last few lines. He says, now we can understand Nicha Heim lo bachu al tzar ha-churban ela hisigu b'ruach ha-kodesh kol ma she-yavar al Yisrael b'churbanos v'golos elu v'yamdu b'nisyonam. Says the Tzam Sofer, now we can answer a question. Chazal say that what was the day on which Yosef revealed himself to his brothers? So the pasuk there says, "Tavach tevach." They prepared food by shechting animals for a special meal of eating meat. And Chazal say, when did that happen? When did Tavach tevach? That was on a Friday. And this you'll see in the Medrash and Brachos Rabbah. So if they were preparing the meat one day in advance, and that day was Friday, and the next day they had the Suda, and that was the day on which Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, what day of the week was that? It would have to be Shabbos. So therefore, by pure calculation, mathematically, based on Chazal, we understand that the day on which Yosef revealed himself to his brothers was actually Shabbos. So they all asked the question. Chazal say that they were crying. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayigash Vayipol al Tzavarei Binyamin Achiv Vayevk, that Binyamin fell on the neck of his brother Yosef and they cried. Says Rashi, why did they cry? Al Shnei Mikdashos Shasidim Lios Bechelko Shel Binyamin V'Sofo Licharev. They were crying on the Churban Abayis. But the question is, how can you cry on Shabbos? Says the Chasam Sofer, you don't understand the nature of their crying. It's like the crying of the Taz. He says, because they understood Yisigu V'ruach HaKodesh Shekol Mashi Yavra Al Yisrael B'churbonos V'golos V'yamdu B'nisyonam, that all the Tzoros and all the Churbonos and all the Golios throughout and the two Batei Mikdash of Yisrael, it's all part of Nisyonos, the goal of which is to cleanse and uplift the Jewish people. They'll be tested to see if they'll be worthy of building the Beis HaMikdash again a third time. And what they understood, both Yosef and Binyamin, through their Ruach HaKodesh, is at the end of the day, the bias will be rebuilt. It means that the Jewish people will withstand. They will succeed in those trials and tribulations. And their response to all the suffering and all the gullies of all those thousands of years will be one of Amida bin Isayin. They'll successfully see that this is the way Hashem gives us the merits, the ability to improve ourselves, to do better, to do tshuva. And what a great simcha it is, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, when a person accepts the Musar, when he gets the message, he understands the point, he samech bi Yisurov. So therefore Yosef and Binyamin was smechim. What were the demos that Chazal indicate vayevk, that they cried? Not about the churbanos per se. That would have been crying of tzar. That would be certainly be also on Shabbos. But rather, Yachzor v'ibone beis hamigdash machmas dveikus v'simcha. They felt that sense of simcha and dveikus. Bachu, they cried because they realized how great their descendants, the Jewish people, would be. That they would be able to withstand all the trials and tribulations, successfully come back, appreciate with simcha God's trials and tribulations, and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it's mutter, that kind of bechiyah is mutter on Shabbos. Kein yiratzon should be zochet that simcha, the rebuilding of bayis.